Welcome to the Everyday Ultra Podcast, a show designed to help you level up your training, crush your races, and ultimately become a better endurance athlete every single day. Whether you're an endurance athlete as a hobby or someone who wants to be the best in the sport, this is the show for you. I'm your host, Joe Corcione, and thank you so much for listening. Now, let's get into it. What is up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of the Everyday Ultra Podcast. I'm your host, Joe Corcione, and today we are going through one of the most requested episodes we've gotten of the summer, because the summer is hot, right? If you're in the United States right now, you are in the middle of summer. It is July 13th, the day that we are recording this podcast, and let me tell you, this is where it starts getting a little toasty, no matter where you live in the United States, right? Whether you are in the East Coast and you're getting that humid 90 degrees, just absolutely thick weather out, or you're in Arizona like I am, where it's 110, 115 degrees and the dry heat out, or maybe you're even at elevation where the temperature isn't too hot, but man, that sun beating down can really do a number for you. Regardless of where you're at in the United States, you have probably ran in the heat and you have probably noticed that it can suck, right? It can really be a big damper. And I've had so many people reach out to me as they're seeing my Instagram stories of me running in the 100 degree weather here in Phoenix, Arizona, and asking, how the heck are you running in the heat, right? And I mean, not only like me running in Arizona, right? You look at people doing crazy races such as the Badwater 135, which is, I believe, still going on to this point, where I mean, some of those temperatures were reaching 126 degrees, and these people are running 135 miles in it with over 14,000 feet of elevation gain. It's just absolutely nuts. And so it's just unbelievable to see that happening. But at the same time, it shows that there is a way to master running in the heat, because it's something we all have to manage, right? Whether we are training for a race that is coming up in the fall, or whether we have a summer race where it's actually going to be hot, or we're going to be training year round and we want to be able to make sure that we're doing it in a way that's enjoyable, in a way that we make progress into the heat, because the heat can just be, oh man, it can be brutal some days. Your performance goes down, which I'll kind of speak about a little bit in this. And it overall can just be a damper, especially if you're living in a very, very hot place like Phoenix, Arizona, or, you know, New Mexico in some parts, Las Vegas, right? A lot of those places can be very, very hot, even Florida, right? And then you got the humidity in there, which is just a whole nother ball game. But anyways, I wanted to make this podcast episode to not only make your training much more effective in the heat, where you're making progress, you're hitting the gains, you're hitting the paces that you want, your heart rate's being managed to a decent amount, but I also wanted to give you this this guide to help make running more enjoyable in the heat, because sometimes it cannot be enjoyable for everybody, and I totally understand that. And so really, in the end of the day, why do we run? We run because it's enjoyable to us. We run because we love it, and we don't want to let the heat get in the way of that, let alone our progress, right? We want to still enjoy running, even when it's hot as hell outside, no matter what the weather is. So this episode will help you do that. So where all the information in this episode is coming from is a few different places. Number one, it's my personal experience. This will be my third summer here at Phoenix, Arizona. And again, if you are familiar with Phoenix summers, you know that it's just incredibly hot. I mean, it gets, you know, right at like 5 a.m. in the morning, it's already 90 degrees out. And then, you know, if you're running out there by 12 p.m. or 1 p.m., you know, it's hitting 110, 112, 115. It gets brutally hot. And this will be my third summer running in the Phoenix heat. And at first, when I moved out here, because I moved out here from Wisconsin, completely different climate, by the way, it was such a struggle. I mean, I was getting my ass kicked by the heat outside, and I didn't know how to manage it, and it was really just putting a damper on my training. And then I started to get really serious in terms of, you know, what what are the strategies to really optimally run in the heat, right? Because I really wanted to get it right, not just from a progress perspective, but also, you know, an enjoyment perspective. I was really just dreading the hot runs, and I wanted to get back to loving running year round. And so I did a ton of research, learned a lot from my coach, Zach Bitter, who's taught me a ton about heat training, learned about, you know, runners who do bad water and who do the Javelina 100, which is the race that I'm training for, and all these like super hot races, to see what the best strategies are. So I've tried a ton of different personal things out, and I can say that I've got a pretty good strategy with the heat right now, to the point where it doesn't really bother me too much. And I actually, you know, I can run about like an hour and 15 in the heat, like 100 degree, 105 degree weather without any water, and still be pretty comfortable. I know it sounds like probably a stupid idea, and it is, but like I don't do that, you know, in a race or anything, but, you know, I like to just see how far I can push my hydration to really just see how much my body's adapted to it. And I do that as a point to say like, okay, what I'm doing is working. And even if I, you know, add some hydration along the way and everything like that, I know that I'm going to be super optimized. And I want to share what's learned from me, or what I have learned. Sorry, could not put that into a coherent sentence. Share what I've learned along the way and what I've applied through my personal experience to help you. So that's number one. Number two, again, a lot of the information that I didn't know before came from learning from amazing people in the space who've been doing this a long time, looking at different research papers, looking at different techniques and strategies, and asking runners who have done Javelina, who have done Western States, who have done Badwater, who have done these crazy hot races to manage the heat. And so it'll be also tips from other people as well. And in this episode, I'm going to go through five different tips that are really going to help you. And it's going to be, trust me, I'm not going to just say drink a shit ton of water, because like that's A, it's super obvious, and B, it's not even enough. Even if you drink a shit ton of water before or during a run, that is not enough. You have to focus on other key areas when it comes to running in the heat in order to be optimal, because you can drink all the water in the world, but after a certain point, your body actually doesn't process the water as efficiently. You can really just oversaturate yourself, where you're just sloshing around with water where it's not taking it in, and basically you're going to have to rely on these other tips, which I think are even more important than, you know, just drinking water, to really have an optimal training situation in the heat. All right, sound great? Awesome. Let's get into the tips here, right? But first, actually, before I get into the tips, I want to talk about like really the effect on heat into your training, just from a really high level basis, just so you understand, because sometimes you might be running in the heat and you might be thinking, oh my gosh, like, why am I running slower? Why do I feel more tired? Why do I feel more beat after I run in the heat? The reason why is because your body is actually working way harder in the heat to thermoregulate your body temperature down to a normal body temperature in order to keep your body properly functioning. And when it's doing that, a few different things are happening. Number one, you're expending way more energy, right? Your heart's going to be pumping a lot more. Your heart rate's going to be higher at a same given intensity in the heat relative to a normal baseline temperature. Your blood is going to be actually going to your extremities a lot more as opposed to your digestive system. So if you're ever running and you start to feel like a little nauseous more than usual, given the same amount of foods or same types of foods that you're eating, it's because your blood is rushing to your extremities in that case. You're also losing a ton of fluids, so you are going to be naturally way more dehydrated in there as well. And so all these different things are happening, and so it is way harder to perform in a hotter climate than it is in a normal standard temperature climate. I remember even too, Nick Curry, I don't know if he mentioned this on the podcast, but he did mention this to me in a conversation I had to him. He said like the optimal training temperature was somewhere around like 45 degrees and optimal running temperature. Like that is the optimal temperature in order to be able to really run to your maximal potential. So if that's true and you're running in 85, 90 degree, over double the degrees in terms of what you're going to be doing with, you know that it's probably going to have a big effect on your body for the reasons that I've just mentioned. It's also another reason why you hear, you know, conversations at Western States every single year are like, is it a course record year? And they always look at the temperature. If it's going to be a hotter than usual year, then they're like, yeah, it's probably not going to be a course record year, because people are going to have to really, really push a higher intensity at these races because their body's going to be working so much more, and so many more things can go wrong in those moments as well. Whereas it's a cooler year, like one of the year that Jim Walmsley broke the course record. I mean, it was one of the record cool years, I believe, or it was a cooler than average year if it wasn't a record cool year or close to it. So all these things have a huge factor. So a reason why I say that in there is because people all the time, they say like, oh, like my training's not going so well, or, you know, summer's here and I'm just not feeling great in my training. And I say, hey, I don't think it's anything that, you know, you're doing for the most part. I think, you know, you also have to take into consideration how the hot weather really affects your training. So, you know, don't get too beaten up on yourself if you find yourself struggling during the heat training months, because your body's going to be working so much harder. Like, I don't want to say you want to accept a pace that's higher, because we can get it down. It's just you have to A, be able to manage that well, and B, you're going to have to understand that your body's going to be working a lot harder. So know to give yourself some grace in those times when it's super, super hot out that you might not be performing optimally. However, there is ways where you can ultimately take steps to be able to perform optimally, which is what we're going to go into now. I know I lied before. This is for real. We're getting into the tips right here. The 5 tips that are really going to help you to optimize your heat training based on my personal experience running in Phoenix, Arizona in the blazing hot heat, and also from experts who are super smart, way smarter than I am, and have been applying this for a while. So tip number 1. This was a tip that I really didn't know about until someone told me, and I started to see this at events and really realized the true power of it once I started to do it. And it is topical cooling. So topical cooling is just a fancy way of saying soaking yourself in a shit ton of cold water. That's pretty much it. It's like, I'm sure you've seen the videos of people running into aid stations at really hot races and dousing themselves in cold water, or getting, you know, sponge drips from an ice bucket, or putting ice in those, in their, different compartments, their pants, their socks, like everywhere on their bodies during a race. Now, obviously cold water is cold and ice is really cold, and obviously it's going to feel really good in the heat, but there's a lot of scientific benefits that when you're topical cooling yourself, right? Not only is it going to like really lower your core or your skin temperature when you're going to put on it, but it also mimics the effect of what sweating does when you are out there running in the heat. The reason why you sweat is because sweat gets your skin wet. And when your skin gets wet, what happens is that sweat is going to evaporate off your skin. That evaporation cools the surface of your skin, hence the evolutionary reason why we sweat, okay? And so when you're dousing yourself in cold water, not only is it cooling yourself down, but it also accelerates the process of getting that evaporation effect onto your body, so that your temperature of your skin starts to cool down a lot more from that. You're basically enhancing that sweat response, or I should say that sweat effect, by dousing yourself in cold water whenever you can. So not only does it feel absolutely amazing to just to douse yourself in cold water and put ice everywhere, but again, it really accelerates that cooling effect. Now, what are the ways to really apply this? Like, the first thing is, you know, whenever you get back to your car, or you have like a drop point, or even you carry a water bottle filled with ice, just make sure you're dousing yourself with water at any opportunity that you can. What I usually like to do is when I'm running out on my own out on a course where I can't really drop water, I will carry a water bottle with me filled with ice water, and I will just spray it down my neck every once in a while, like probably like every, you know, 15 minutes or so. And that keeps me nice and cool throughout the race or the training session, and keeps me, you know, feeling wet the entire time. And it allows me just to feel good along the ways. If you do have access to a car, whether you're doing certain loops or whether you're doing out and backs, whatever that might be, I usually like having like a gallon of water sitting on a cooler of ice, and then basically just dumping it on myself whenever I get back to that car, and making sure that everything is wet, right? Like my arms, my back, my face, my chest, my shorts, anything where there's really like hot skin exposure, that's where I'm going to be soaking it all up. So like I always say, like, just like, and Zach Bitter says this in a video, He did when he did the Speed Project. He said that the key is staying wet. And that really is the key. It's staying wet. And so any opportunity you have to just really cool yourself down by soaking yourself in cold water, I mean, and I'm talking ice cold water, like the colder the better, for sure. You just want to be soaking yourself at any opportunity that you get. Now, some interesting things that you can do to even take this process even further is a few things. Number one is wearing arm sleeves. I thought arm sleeves were absolutely pointless when I saw people wearing them. And then someone told me to wear arm sleeves during a race and, during a training session to really accelerate the cooling. And man, for some reason, those arm sleeves just accelerated. I don't really know the science about it too much, but just wetting those arm sleeves just makes it feel even cooler because it like holds in all that cold water into the sleeves when you're running. On top of that, you can even stick ice into the sleeves as well to really just have that even more intense cooling effect around there. So arm sleeves are a great way for you to really, really stay nice and cool and even accelerate that cooling effect much, much more. Now, just make sure when you're running the heat that you're getting UV protected sun arm sleeves. You're not getting like the thick warming arm sleeves because then you're going to cook yourself to death. You want to get the ones that are literally made for the sun. Things that kind of like also work like this are those like sun shirts, those like really thin UV protected, super lightweight shirts that are meant to be worn in the sun and in the heat. I know Rabbit makes a ton of those different lines and everything, and they're super cool. So that also can work from an arm sleeve strategy or anything like that. Personally for me, like when I'm running, like I like to wear a shirt because like that shirt will normally stay wet on there. I know some people like to strip off their shirt and go shirtless. For me, I like having the shirt on there and keeping it soaked because it kind of keeps that wetness water, retained into the shirt and always cool on there as well, which is just a super cool thing to do. So something to think about as well. And again, using ice wherever you can. So some people will like take their hat and they'll like stick ice inside their hat. Some people will stick ice in their arm sleeves. Some people will even put it down their pants. I've seen it at Western States, which is crazy. Some people put it into their socks. It's a personal preference thing. I personally don't like to run with too much ice just because like I don't like the feeling of, having the ice cubes kind of roll around and everything. But, it's something that, a lot of people do and there's a ton of benefit to it. So yes, definitely make sure, if you are going to go to the ice situation, that's something you're comfortable with, because if you're not comfortable with it, it's just going to be a little bit of a burden. But topical cooling, stay wet. That's like what you got to think about, when you're training out there, when you are in the middle of a race. If you're in a hot race, right? If you're in a freaking hot race at the aid stations, get soaked at any opportunity they have. They're probably going to have cold water for you to soak yourself in. Soak yourself in it. Gosh darn it. Do it. Like, seriously. Like, there was even a video that Javelina 100 put out that basically said, like, the key to success in that race is staying wet. And I truly believe that. And so just stay wet. That's the thing you got to keep thinking about, too. So topical cooling, that is number one. Number two. Now, I know I mentioned I'm not going to say like drink a shit ton of water and everything, but this number two has to do with the aspect of hydration. Now, I'm not just talking about drinking water when you're out there or drinking a ton of water the night before. This is going to be a new concept that I actually learned about this year and started applying to my training. And let me tell you, the results have been immense. And I feel like so hydrated when I'm out there and feel like that I'm retaining so much water because like, here's the thing too, like you can always like do checks when you're out there to make sure that you are, hydrated enough or dehydrated, right? Usually the one thing that I like to check is my lips. If my lips are like really, really dry and like my mouth is really dry and I got that cotton mouth feeling, I know that I'm probably dehydrated. If I like take my hand and like squeeze them really tight and I like notice that like my fingers are feeling like swollen, have you ever had that feeling before? I know I'm probably dehydrated. If I'm feeling a little loopy out there, if I'm feeling like, just a little like just unusually tired and just all over the place, I know I'm probably a little dehydrated. So those are the things that I check. And the reason why I say that is because when I found out this new approach, I get those symptoms so much less out there with the same amount of water that I have been currently drinking before I tried this methodology out, and that is called prehydration. Now, prehydration is much more than, again, just slamming, you know, a gallon of water the night before a big training run or anything like that. There's actually products out there now that help you to prehydrate before you go out into an actual training session or anything like that. Or a race or whatever, but it basically optimizes your body to, you know, really, really hold the key electrolytes, hold the key hydration that you really need to really be sustained out there so you're ready to rip and roll. Now, my favorite product that I've tried throughout this entire time is called Prepped, P-R-E-P-D. It's really, really interesting product. Actually, someone from the company reached out to me and just said, hey, do you want to try this out? And I said, yeah, like I'm trying this out. I'm prepping for a really hot race. I need to get my hydration down. And I've been trying it for, man, probably about like 3 months now. And it's just incredible. And basically, like, what it is the night before a big training run out in the heat, I know it's going to be hot. What I do is I will take their Prime powder. So it's called Prime, and what it is, it's supposed to be a prehydration mix. It's a powder. It either comes in a bottle, or it comes in, or sorry, not a bottle. It either comes in a big jug, like a protein jug, or it comes in individual sachets, or it even actually comes in a pre-shaken up bottle. But I like to use the powder. So I'll take a shaker bottle, fill it up with almond milk, put in the mix in there, shake it up, drink it up a night before, usually anywhere from 6 to 12 hours before my run. I'll go to sleep, and then I wake up just feeling super, super hydrated, and I'm out there and I rip it. And it's super simple, and it tastes delicious. And man, this prehydration strategy has just been huge for me, because I find myself getting a lot less of those symptoms in there, but I also see my splits improving. I see like my ability to really, really perform out there improving, and it's been absolutely incredible. And so the prehydration is just amazing. Now, you also want to take into consideration post-hydration too, because post-hydration is also important. And again, it's more than just drinking a shit ton of water and just, you know, really replenishing the fluids. You also want to be able to make sure that you are giving yourself the key nutrients and electrolytes that are going to be able to give your body primed and prepped for, no pun intended, prime and prepped for the next session that you're out there. And so Prepped also has a post-hydration mix, which is also has a ton of protein in it. I think about like 21-ish grams in it. But it also really rehydrates your body a lot more than simply just drinking water or an electrolyte mix or anything like that, and puts your body in a state of recovery that's going to allow it to not expend as much energy on the recovery process and really, really help you to stay hydrated in the next one. And so what I've been doing is, before a run, I'll drink the Prime the night before, I'll do my run, like gruel it out in the heat, and then I'll come in and I'll drink the post mix, and man, that stack has been incredible. And so using a prehydration system, I know that there's other products out there. Prepped is my favorite by far. And if you really, really want to try Prepped out for yourself, I actually have a discount code. Again, I'm not getting paid to do this or anything like that. I'm just doing this because I love the product. I think it's amazing. And I got a discount code from the CEO because I just think the product is so incredible. I have a discount code for it. It's JOE10. I'll put that in the show notes. But if you go to preppedhydration.com, that's P-R-E-P-D hydration.com.au. They're an Australian company. Shout out to my friends in the land down under. So P-R-E-P-D hydration.com.au. You can get 10% off any one-time order. I suggest the Prime and the Post for sure, or at the very least, the Prime is just amazing. Like, I think the Prime is the go-to for sure. Try it out. It's amazing. It's incredible. It's awesome stuff. Now, on to the prehydration thing too. On top of that, what you also want to make sure is that you're getting some salt in your body the night before as well. Now, Prepped has some salt in there as well, but I also like to supplement it by taking some salt tabs or eating some salty foods the night before as well, because what's going to happen is, you know, naturally you're going to be probably drinking a lot of water beforehand to prep, and you're going to be peeing out, you know, the water. If you're peeing too much, what's going to happen is you're going to pee out a lot of the electrolytes. And so you want to make sure your body's retaining the water as well. And so make sure that you're getting in some sodium, you know, whether it's, you know, eating some salty foods or taking some salt tabs, some generic salt tabs that you can get, you know, on Amazon, which is just, you know, basically just salt in a pill. You can just take it. It's super great to do. The one thing I will caution is don't take too much damn salt. I know so many people who have like loaded up on salt and then two things happen. Number one, you feel incredibly shitty the next day. Like your stomach is just turns over like crazy. You poop a lot. Like it's just not good. And then two, you can give yourself hyponatremia, which is basically you just retain so much water and your body just doesn't give it out that you can actually, it can actually be deadly. Like you can really be deadly. Your body's going to swell up. You gain a shit ton of pounds. It's not good. So just be careful on the salt stuff. I always say like, don't the night before, like just don't overdo it. You know, probably take around like 1,000 milligrams. Like you should be pretty good the night before. If you just do that, you should be pretty good with that. But prehydration is huge when it comes to the heat because it's going to allow your body to be really, really optimized in the heat. So think about that for sure. Now, we just talked about electrolytes, and that brings us to our third point, which is electrolytes. Electrolytes are so important when it comes to running in the heat, okay? Now, a lot of, again, it's so much more than just drinking water. If you just went out there and just drank water, it's going to be just a total suffer fest for you. Like, you're going to be sweating like crazy. It's going to be just awful. Like, you're just going to be losing so much fluids, right? As I mentioned before, like, really sweating is great, because it allows that cooling response. The problem is you can only sweat so much because you have a certain amount of water in your body and you got to be able to, you know, retain a certain amount of water in order to really, really perform well, right? So I know a lot of people think it's like, hey, Joe, you said sweating is good. You said that all that stuff. You don't want to sweat too much at the cost of depleting yourself out there because that's going to be just totally miserable. You got to find the right balance between like being able to sweat to soak yourself and at the same time not sweat too much where you're losing so much fluids and so many electrolytes, which is why the topical cooling helps a lot, because if you manage yourself to not sweat like a pig when you're out there, you can mimic that super sweating effect through the topical cooling. And the way to really balance this out is through electrolytes, because when you're taking electrolytes, predominantly sodium, potassium, magnesium, those are the really key ones in there. It allows your body to retain water a lot better. And when your body retains that water, it's going to be able to not leave yourself super depleted and super dehydrated and feeling like crap out there and feeling like the life got zapped out of you. You can really retain it in there. Now, generally when it's hotter outside, you want to really intake more electrolytes. Now, what I like to go for a rule of thumb is I usually like to get about 600 to 800 milligrams of sodium every single hour when I'm out there in the hot weather. Now, I know that can sound like a lot, but again, you're going to be losing a lot of electrolytes through your sweat, right? Because I'm sure you've seen it or you've had it happen to yourself when you're running with something black on and then all of a sudden you just see like just like caked sweat everywhere. Like, yeah, that's salt losing, that's salt getting out of your body. Like, you want to replenish those levels so that you don't continue just to just totally lose out all that fluid in there. So you're going to want to make sure you're getting salt in. I would go for 600 to 800 milligrams an hour. Everybody's body is different. Everybody's body tolerates this. I would really, really caution to not go over 1,000 an hour. Just again, because you risk the hyponatremia and you really don't want that. And you risk these detrimental stomach issues. You just don't want that out there. So 600 to 800 milligrams an hour is what I'd like to shoot for. I'll go for a variety of a few different things. The first thing is salt tabs. So I love salt tabs and I'll actually pop those out there pretty frequently. Another thing that I've been experimenting with, which we'll touch on my next point here, is liquid calories. There's a lot of good liquid calorie mixes out there that do have hydrations in there. So Tailwind, I think it has like 300 milligrams per serving and two servings is 200 calories. So you can get, you know, that 600 mark in there an hour. I know Martin has some drink mixes too that have calories and electrolytes as well. Noon tablets are also great. You can just drop those in water and they have a good amount of electrolytes. Liquid IV, another great option as well. Not too much of my favorite because it does have a shit ton of sugar in there and I'm usually already eating sugary stuff as my nutrition, so I really just don't feel like I want to give myself diabetes out there, so just kidding, but try to avoid the sugar as much as possible. So that's why I stick with the Noon tablets. I know Goo has tablets as well. So you can really play around with what you want to do with your electrolytes. If you just like straight water when you're out there, the salt tabs are the move. If you like some flavored stuff and you really want to go with the liquid calories, then yeah, I would look in one of the drink mixes for sure, as they can be incredibly helpful. But make sure you're getting those electrolytes in and be diligent with them. Like, seriously, be diligent. Like, I can't stress enough, like, if you like miss an hour of electrolytes, like, that can really fuck you up out there. I've had it happen to me before. I was in a race and I think it was a 50 miler at Mesquite Canyon here in Arizona, and it was mile 29, and my stomach just felt so churny, and it was getting a little warm outside, and I just wasn't taking in electrolytes because I didn't have any salt tabs. I just had like the drink mixes, and it was just the Noon tablets, and my stomach just got destroyed, and I didn't feel like taking the electrolytes, and I just felt so dehydrated until I went, you know, to the next aid station. They had salt tabs. I took some. I started feeling great and ended up finishing the race pretty strong. But I realized, I was like, damn, I almost just totally fucked myself up there, and I don't want you to fuck yourself up. So be diligent with the electrolyte strategy. Make sure you're managing that well. Find a brand and a method that works best for you, and kind of put it in there in terms of that. So make sure you're getting 600 to 800 milligrams of sodium every hour when you're out there. In terms of like water too, like, you know, people say like, how much water should I be drinking an hour? Everybody's different, right? Everybody's fluid loss rate is different. I actually heard this on an amazing conversation with Coach Jason Coop of the Coop Cast. And he was talking about it's very specific onto how much fluid someone loses on average versus another person. So like for me specifically, I usually like to try and get like a liter in every hour. Sometimes I like to push it to 1.5. It starts to get a little hotter. I know that sounds like a lot, but for me, I sweat a shit ton. So I try and get a little bit more in as possible. So I usually like to go for 1.5 liters and then get 600 to 800 milligrams of sodium in every hour. Now, the thing you got to be careful about is two things. Number one, you don't want to overhydrate to the point where you're getting that sloshing feeling in your stomach because your body's just not retaining that fluid a lot. But you also don't want to underdo it where you're just severely dehydrated out there and you're feeling like crap. So I know naturally that question was going to come up, and I hate to give the answer that it's so specific to everybody. So I'm just going to share of like what I do, the 1.5 liters an hour. And 600 to 800 milligrams of sodium should be pretty good from there. So that's point three, electrolytes. A little bit of touch on how many water you should bring it in. All right, the next tip here, number four, is digestion. Now, you may have not experienced this, but I will tell you that in the longer races, you'll probably experience it a lot more, especially, you know, if you've never ran between a certain point in an ultra. And the reason why I say this is because, let me just give you a scenario on what came to this conclusion for me. For me, when I was training for my 100-miler race, and then also, again, that 50-miler race, Mesquite Canyon, the predominant nutrition strategy for me was eating one Clif bar every single hour. And in training and everything else, like in regular weather, that never messed me up. Like I never got messed up by Clif bars. Like they just always sat well in my stomach. They always digested well. They always felt good. And I never really had a problem with them. So I stuck with them. Then when I did the Mesquite Canyon 50 miler, again, I got those stomach issues like around like mile 30-ish. It was like a little hotter than what I was normally running in, but I kind of chalked it up to, I was like, you know what? I think I ate something weird the night before, something different, which is a total mistake. Don't follow that on my end. And I chalked it up to that. And I said, you know what? The Clif bars are fine. I've never really had a problem with it. Then I went to my 100-mile race and I had Clif bars. And I think it was like reaching like 85, 87 degrees out, which was hot for me at the time because I hadn't really gotten to the heat yet. It was like early April. It was very, very hot. And my stomach got absolutely destroyed. Like I think like mile like 40 and 50 and 60, I was just feeling like crap. And I was just like, oh my God, like these Clif bars just aren't settling well. And it was only until then where I realized one thing. The thing that I said earlier in the podcast is that when you're out there, your body, again, is taking blood away from your digestive system, and it's putting it more towards your extremities, and it's also working harder, so there's not as much resources deployed to the digestion. So what's going to happen is your digestive system is not going to be processing as well as it would in a normal temperature environment. Therefore, you are more prone to stomach issues when it comes to running in the heat. Now, for me, at the time, I was doing hot runs, right? And at times, right? Like, I would run for 4 hours and I would never get a bother. And this is more so when I was training for, in my triathlon days, I was training them through the summer, and I never really had problems with Cliff Bars doing, you know, 3 hour runs. But then once I exceeded that threshold and I was going to like 6 hours, 7 hours, like, it just took a toll on me, and I just started to just feel absolutely shitty with the Cliff Bars. So in terms of digestion, here is my suggestion. Now, I did a whole episode on nutrition and everything, and again, know that it is very, very different for everybody, but here is something that I found to be pretty helpful for me when I'm in the heat, especially doing the very longer runs, and something that I'm going to test in the Javelina 100, or I should say training for the Javelina 100. I need to dial down a good nutrition strategy, but this one has been working for me so far in the month that I've tried it out, and I think it's going to be working very well going forward, and that is going with liquid calories. Now, the reason why going with liquid calories can help in the heat is because you're not digesting as much, right? Because when you're eating food in your stomach, it's going to be, you know, solid, it's going to be thick for the most part, like, and so, especially if you're eating, like, Cliff Bars, right, like, as you know, like, those things are thick, your body's going to be working to digest and break that down a lot more. If it's liquid calories, it's a lot easier to digest on your body, and you're able to really, really not put too much strain on your digestive system while still getting in the calories and the electrolytes that you need all in one to go through it. So on top of that, like, not putting in the solid foods in there, you're also getting three birds killed, to really be respectful of the phrase, three birds killed in one stone by using liquid calories, right? Because if you're doing the electrolytes and you're doing the hydration and then you're doing the water, you're putting extra stuff in your stomach. Whereas if you're doing liquid calories, not only are you not putting the solid stuff in, but you're putting in more important stuff with less amount of volume in your stomach, and you're not putting so much pressure on your digestive system. Now, again, this is all personal preference, but this is what I found to be very, very easy on the digestive system. So for me, when I'm out there, I'm still experimenting on what kind of brand that I want to go with in terms of this, but I found one brand to be very, very helpful, which is Tailwind. So Tailwind, I'm sure you know Tailwind. They are a powder-based drink mix that you can actually have, you know, in your water, and it serves as calories. As I talked about before, usually comes in about 100 calories a serving, 300 milligrams of sodium in there, and I believe 25 grams of carbs, which is great because if you're going for 200 calories an hour, 50 grams of carbs an hour, 600 milligrams of sodium, that's great. And if you even go to 250, that's also great too, because now you're getting 75 grams of carbs. Not 75 grams, you're getting about 65, 66, right in that sweet spot of sodium and calories as well. And it's just great. It's a good product, and it stays easy on the stomach. It's not just pure sugar. I think it's a dextrose blend, I believe. Not really sure the difference, but I just know sugar can be very, very harsh, pure sugar. And it's not that, which is great. So, Tailwind's a good option as well. Another option that I'm going to experiment, I haven't tried it yet, is the Martin 320 drink mix. I haven't tried this out yet, but I'm going to experiment with it just to see if it's better than Tailwind. For me, like, I just, the taste of Tailwind can sometimes get a little similar. Like, I like to switch up my palate a little more, and I know they have different flavors of Tailwind, but I would like to see, you know, maybe if I can switch it up with other brands as well and just kind of play back and forth and just kind of go in there and just see what the strategy is. But if you experiment with liquid calories, and this is probably more important again on the longer runs as opposed to the shorter runs, because in the shorter runs you won't have to worry about it too much, man, I think you can really put a good savior on your digestive tract when you're running in the heat, because, you know, if your stomach feels shitty, like, you're not going to want to eat. When you don't eat, you're going to feel depleted. When you're not going to want to eat, you're not going to want to drink. When you're not going to want to drink, like, it's that death spiral that just happens, and you want to be able to prevent that. And I think stomach issues are one of the biggest catalysts when it comes to downward spirals in an ultra marathon or in a training session. And so if you can get that right, where in the heat it's so prone to be able to get that in there, man, I think it's something you got to nail down. So liquid calories is something I totally suggest. Tamwin's a good option. I'll keep you posted on what the Martin strategy is like for me, and we'll kind of go from there. But yeah, try out liquid calories if you're having difficulty taking down calories in the heat. It's going to be super, super helpful. The next and the last thing is, and this is one that is also newer to me, but I found just completely liberating, and that is ditch the vest. Ditch the running vest, right? Running vests are all the rage. Like, they're great and everything like that. And I understand, like, sometimes when you're running on, like, a remote trail where you can't really re-up too much, you'll need a vest, right? But here's the thing. Those vests are cookers. They're absolutely cookers. Like, you just cook in them. And, like, because, like, what they do is they cling to your body, right? They're supposed to be, like, a second skin thing. But because of that, it traps that heat inside that body. And usually it's all around your core, which is basically, like, the core, like, heating center of your body. And so when you are wrapping around your core into this skin tight vest, it's going to heat it up a lot more, and you're going to be way, way hotter out there. Even if you don't feel like it, it's really going to warm you up. And I didn't really recognize this until someone suggested this to me, and I was like, oh wow, I didn't even think about that. And I went out for a run without my vest on, and it was unbelievable. Like, I just felt myself, like, not just dying so much in the heat, and it just felt so much better. And I was like, wow, like, I feel like just amazing. And so ditching the vest is a great option. Now, again, I understand you might not be able to do it in training. If you can, make it happen. And I would say, or I should say, you know, you can't always do it in training, but you most certainly can probably get away with that in a race, I would say, because usually you're going to have aid stations where you can re-up and kind of take care of those things and have it in there. But anyways, there are kind of two different options that you can take in order to really find an alternative. It's getting late in the day here. I'm powering through this. And I don't want to, like, people always say too, this is such a tangent right now, but like, people always say, they're like, oh, why don't you edit out your stuff? I mean, it's because I'm like having a conversation with you. I'm just trying to be natural and not be too polished, and you know, we're all humans here. We all fuck up. So you get to hear my fuck ups in here. But anyways, back to what I was saying before. You might not be able to get away with taking the vest off during a training run, but you can get it away during a race because you can get it in there. Now, the things that you can use instead of a running vest that's going to be able to carry your hydration and carry the important things that are with you, there's a few different options. Number one is handhelds. Handheld water bottles, right? They are pretty great. I mean, they make ones that actually hold a decent amount of waters, and they can hold nutrition, they can hold gels, they can hold your phone, they can hold keys. I mean, they're great. And so I've seen people get away with two handhelds. That's what I'm planning on doing for Javelina 100. I'm going to have two handhelds out there, and it's going to be good. It's going to be good. I won't feel like I have like this like cooking vest just cooking me alive out there. But I'm going to have two handheld water bottles. I'll fill up at every aid station, drink some extra water when I'm there. It'll be all good. So you can do that. And then on, if you really need to carry stuff when you're running, whether it's, you know, extra nutrition or your phone or your keys, you can even have like a little fanny pack when you're out there, right? And have like the fanny pack like out to the side. We're somewhere comfortable. Again, I would probably stay away from your core as much as possible, just so it doesn't create that heating effect. But get a little fanny pack out there. I mean, I've used one before. I usually find that my handhelds like hold everything I need in there, which is pretty good, and then just kind of just send it from there. But yeah, like ditching the vest can be a total game changer. Again, know that it's not always possible, but if you can run in handhelds, I mean, I think it's gonna be, it is a game changer, at least for me in speaking about that. So yeah, that is pretty much my five tips to help you run better in the heat and enjoy it a lot more and also perform way better in the heat. So just to give a recap, let's go through the list here. Number one, topical cooling. Remember, stay wet. Stay wet out there. Soak yourself in cold water and ice whenever you can, as much as possible. If you're out there on a remote trail, carry a water bottle with some ice water that you can just soak yourself with every once in a while. Refill it at the car if you can. If not, no worries. Or if there's water spigots out there, you know, be sure to just douse yourself in there. I didn't even think about that because here in Arizona, there's just not water spigots out on the trail because there's no fucking water here. So, but yeah, if you're out there, like I was just in Grand Teton, there's some spigots out at campgrounds and stuff. Go ahead and soak yourself with water. That's number one. Number two, pre-hydration. My favorite product is Prepped, which again, you can get a 10% discount on your one-time order if you go to the description in the podcast or the website preppedhydration.com.au, P-R-E-P-D, hydration.com.au. Prehydration is great. Also, make sure you're getting enough electrolytes the night before. Again, you know, taking 1,000 milligrams of sodium before bed, probably a good move. Don't go anything over that. And then you can also do a post-hydration strategy as well, which Prep provides as well, also by drinking an electrolyte mix, which is great. So make sure you're getting prehydrated and post-hydrated properly so that you're primed out there to really, really perform well. That was number two. Number three, electrolytes. Make sure you're getting electrolytes when you're out there and you are doing it. Again, 600 to 800 milligrams of sodium an hour should be pretty suitable. Next, digestion, focusing on that, and then going with liquid calories or trying to get in liquid calories whenever you can. It's going to save your digestive system a bunch of rumbling. And then five, do use handhelds if necessary. Ditch the vest is basically the big thing. The vest is going to cook you out there. You want to be able to make your body breathe a lot more, especially around your core. Ditching the vest is probably a good option in that regards. All right. Well, that's the episode right there, everybody. If you have any questions or would like me to go deeper onto things or you had any other specific questions about heat training, feel free to shoot me an Instagram DM at Joe Corcione on Instagram. I'm always happy to help. I'm always happy to chat. And I know that this is a topic that, you know, I'm still really just trying out different things. So if I do come up with things, obviously I will make it known for sure. But at the same time, I'm here to help. I know everybody's body's different. I know everybody's preferences are also different as well. And that can have a factor into these things. But regardless, I hope this episode has given you at least one or two just great nuggets that you can do to really make your heat training not only effective, but most importantly, super enjoyable when you're out there. Don't want it to just be an all day suffer fest out in the heat. I mean, it can get brutal out there. Don't make it harder than it should be out there, because I know a lot of people who just don't run in the heat because they're like, it's not fun. Like, I want everybody to be able to run year round as enjoyably as possible. Again, I'm not promising it's going to be, you know, the best time ever, but it can get a little better. And that's what I hope I accomplish for you in this podcast episode. Thank you all so much for listening to the Everyday Ultra Podcast. I appreciate you so, so much. You are all amazing. Thank you all for tuning in. We're going to be doing more of these solo cast episodes. I know that I've been doing a lot of interview episodes, but I want to do more of these solo cast episodes because they seem to be really popular. And I kind of document my journey and my learnings are on here as well. A lot of people want that content as well. So I'll be doing more of these solo cast episodes. We do have some amazing guests coming up. We got actually a huge guest, huge, huge, huge guest coming up in a few weeks. It's actually going to be an in-person podcast interview. I won't spill the beans on here, but let me tell you, I'm super excited for it. You'll definitely recognize his name when he's on the podcast, but man, I'm super excited for it. It's going to be amazing. And yeah, it's going to be awesome. I was going to share where I'm going to be headed to record the podcast, but I'll probably give it away. So I'll keep you all on your toes for now. But anyways, everyone, thank you so much for listening again. I'll see you in the next episode of the Everyday Ultra Podcast. And remember, be a better endurance athlete every single day, and we'll see you on the next episode. Take care, everyone.